But I just want to remind us what Advent is and why it's important. Some other faith traditions, Christian faith traditions, celebrate Advent at a ramped up level, a whole other level. But I think it is vital and important. And actually, Advent has been celebrated for most of Christian history. It was very early in Christian history that we began to celebrate Advent. The word Advent means coming. Coming. And we have generally four Sundays, the four Sundays before Christmas Eve, where we celebrate Advent. Four Sundays of Advent, and then Christmas Eve is kind of the culmination, the climax of it all. And in this season of Advent, we celebrate the coming of Jesus into this world the first time, and we celebrate the fact that he is coming again. Amen? And so it's a time and a season to focus our hearts, our minds, our energies, not just on buying gifts and, you know, getting into the store on Black Friday before it closes and all that stuff, but it's a season to focus in on Jesus and the reason he came into this world, and to focus in on the fact that he didn't leave us when he ascended into heaven. He didn't leave us to figure it out and say, have fun with that, but he said, I'm coming back. And when I come back, I'm going to make everything new. When Jesus returns, the new creation will have come. Jesus died and rose again, not just to save some people from hell. Jesus died and rose again so that resurrection life could bring about a new heaven and a new earth. That's the goal. That's what we're waiting for. That's what the earth is groaning for, Scripture says. It's what our hearts are longing for. And so Jesus came, and he is coming again. I think that's worth taking 4 weeks and celebrating, thinking about and pondering and meditating on and praying into. That's worth it, isn't it? Amen. So this morning we begin our series, What Child Is This? Roll video.
Thank you.
Thank you, Serge. Serge is not here today. He's working, but fantastic. Old Shepherd. So in 1865, an Englishman named William Chatterton Dix penned the words to a poem entitled The Manger Throne. A few years later, the first three stanzas of this poem were set to an old English folk tune called Greensleeves. It soon became known as the beloved Christmas carol, What Child Is This? And this combination of poetry and music was first published in the United Kingdom in 1871. As a new song, which debuted in a prestigious compilation of Christmas music called Christmas Carols Old and New. For close to a century and a half now, we've been singing this Christmas carol, and the question found in the title of this carol has become an annual reminder that this child that was born in Bethlehem was different than any other child that's been born. Any other birth, any other pregnancy, any other child that entered into this world, this child was different. We see the difference of his life. We see the fact that his life, death, and resurrection has echoed through the centuries, and that no one in history, in human history, has had an impact on the world the way this child did. And so it makes someone like these shepherds and those that look on, looking at this child that was born, ask the question, what child is this? What is so different about this child? Who is this child that was born? The title of the carol, "What Child of Is This?" is intended to be the primary question that the shepherds asked when they heard the angels' instructions and they ran to that stable and they found this baby. They asked all kinds of questions. Who is this child? In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Luke 2, verse 8. "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them." So the first thing that today that we look at, what child is this, is that we see that he is our shepherd. Why did the angels come to the shepherds? Why not to somebody more important? Why not to somebody less smelly? Why shepherds? Let's dig into that a little bit this morning. While no nativity scene is complete without the shepherd's presence, this Christmas carol can also partially, Christmas carol's question can also partially be answered by taking a closer look at the shepherds. In fact, at the role of a shepherd. What child is this? He is a shepherd. In fact, Jesus later described himself as the good shepherd and told what a good shepherd does and what a good shepherd is in John's Gospel, chapter 10. We're going to come back to John's Gospel, chapter 10, a few times this morning. But in verse 11 to 13, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." But Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." This is a summary statement of one aspect of what the child in the manger came to be for all people. Jesus has a vested interest in us and in our lives. He's not a hired hand, but he is the shepherd. He cares. He cares about you. He cares about your life and your circumstances. He cares. At times, the shepherd in the Christmas story have been labeled as the ones who are a bit rough around the edges and living on the lowest rungs of society. Jesus described himself as being a shepherd who has a great responsibility. There's no greater responsibility than holding the life of another in your own hands. Protecting the lives of others was the responsibility of the shepherd. Shepherds are mentioned in the Bible over 100 times. So I think there's something important about shepherds in Scripture. And as we dig into what a shepherd is, maybe we can get a little more of an answer to the question, what child is this? Shepherding was one of the first careers that we find in the Bible. After Adam and Eve had begun their life outside of the Garden of Eden, we learned that their second son, Abel, was a shepherd. That's pretty early, I'd say. Scripture in Genesis 4, verse 2 says, "Now Abel was a keeper of sheep." He was a shepherd. And many of the early characters of Scripture were indeed shepherds. Job, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jacob's 12 sons, Moses, some really important people in the early parts of Scripture were shepherds. It's not a mistake. There's something significant about shepherds. The imagery of the shepherd is prominent in ancient Near Eastern history, but not only does God, in some places in Scripture, call himself Israel's shepherd, but many places in the Old Testament, God compares the leaders of Israel, the kings, the priests, the prophets, the leaders of Israel, he calls them shepherds. In fact, the prophet Ezekiel, in the 34th chapter of his prophecy, speaks out God's frustration with the shepherds. Not the ones that watch the sheep, but the leaders, the kings, the priests, and the prophets, the shepherds of God's people. But God uses the language of shepherds. He says, starting in verse 3, he says, "You eat the curds." How many like cheese curds? Especially on poutine. Ah, now I gotcha. All right. "You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock." In other words, he's saying to the leaders and the kings, you take all you want from the sheep, but you don't take care of the sheep. You rip them off and you live a lavish life off of them, but you don't take care of the flock. He goes on to say, "You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth and no one searched or looked for them." And of course, God's not talking about sheep. You get this, right? He's talking about people who are brokenhearted and leaders didn't care for them, who were wounded and they didn't bind up their wounds, who were scattered and they didn't go looking for them. And God cries out with a broken heart over his people because they have no shepherd. A few verses later, a little further down in the 34th chapter of Ezekiel, God contrasts it with himself and he says, "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. Wow. Isn't that powerful? God says, if no one else will take care of my sheep, if no one else will be good shepherds of my sheep, I'm going to come down and do it myself. And I'm going to bind up the wounded. And I'm going to search for the lost. It sounds an awful lot like the words that Jesus said in Matthew 9:36. When it says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus was the fulfillment of Ezekiel 34. That when God looked at people on this earth that were lost and helpless and broken and wounded, that he said, I'm going to come down and shepherd them myself. And Jesus came. And he was the fulfillment of that declaration that Ezekiel made. Jesus came and he said, these people around me look harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. You need to hear that today. Because there are moments when you feel like the enemy is just harassing your life. Where you are beat up and knocked around and life has just pounded you and you feel harassed. And there are moments when you feel helpless. Like, I don't know how to fix this. I've gotten myself into a mess. Someone else has spilled their mess into my life, and now I'm dealing with a mess. And I don't know how to fix this. And Jesus says, it's okay. I'm your shepherd. I'm your shepherd. In John 10, a couple other verses from John chapter 10, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have no other, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. In other words, non-Jewish sheep. Aren't you glad he said that? Right? I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesse's son David was a shepherd. And when Samuel came looking for the next king of Israel, and he came to Jesse's house, and all of Jesse's sons paraded before him, because God had told Samuel that the next king was in Jesse's house. Just go and you'll find him there. And seven of Jesse's sons parade before Samuel, and God says, not that one, not that one, not that one, seven times. And Samuel's like, well, God told me he was here, so do you have another son? Oh, yeah, well, David, the runt of the litter, he's out watching the sheep. Samuel says, we're not going to have barbecue until he comes. We're not going to eat until he comes. Bring him. So they brought in David from the sheep fields, and God says, that's the one. He has a heart after my own heart. He's a shepherd like I'm a shepherd. The child that would be born in the manger in Bethlehem would be born in the very place where 900 years before David had shepherded sheep, in the town of Bethlehem. That's why it became known as the city of David, because David grew up there, and David's family was from there, and David watched sheep there. And in that very same place where David, the shepherd king, had shepherded his sheep, Jesus would be born to the celebration of shepherds, to be the shepherd of the world. He is our shepherd, and our shepherd is a good provider. One of the most important duties of a shepherd, of course, is to make sure that the sheep have the food and the water and the vital things that they need in life. And so David's most famous poem, David the Shepherd King's most famous poem, speaks about how he understood that God was his shepherd, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If God's my shepherd, I won't lack. I won't go without the things that I need, because he is my provider. He's my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. And in Psalm 23, we find a little more of the hints of the answer to the question, what child is this? Jesus wants to be your source. He wants to be your provider. He wants to be your safe place. He wants to be your leader. Jesus came to deal with the evil one who wants to bring you down with him. And instead, Jesus wants you to know the bounty and blessing of being one of his sheep, being in his care, of having your Creator and your Savior as your shepherd. In our passage of John 10, in verse 10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come," Jesus the shepherd says, "but I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly." Jesus, as your shepherd, wants you to enjoy abundant life. We're not talking about some kind of phony get rich quick message that some preachers preach. But we're talking about a message that says Jesus wants your life to overflow with the presence of God. He wants your life to overflow with the blessing of God's provision. He wants your life to overflow with the fact that you have a personal shepherd, that you are being personally looked after, that the shepherd has your best interest in his heart. He wants you to not lack whatever you need. That's pretty good. Amen. And our good shepherd is not only a provider, but he is a protector. Can you help me and advance that slide? Because it's not advancing. Derek, Matthias, can you... Is it frozen? It is frozen. Okay. He is our protector. Just as the shepherd was responsible. Thank you. Awesome. No, next one. There we go. Wanted you to see that cool picture. There's a beefed up David attacking the lion from the sheep. Just as a shepherd was responsible for food and water and provisions of the sheep, protecting the flock was also a priority. Sheep were easy prey for wild animals, and they were often shepherded in wild places. David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. But if he arose against me, I caught him by the beard and struck him and killed him." David said, "I would take on a lion or a bear for the sake of my sheep." That's pretty serious. That's taking your job seriously, right? A little bit of danger pay needed there, I think. So David goes on in Psalm 23, he goes on to speak of the protection that he felt from the Lord, his shepherd. "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, Lord, my shepherd, are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." David describes attributes of the Lord who not only provides for his nourishment, but also protects him wherever he might find himself in life. This good shepherd would not only protect his sheep from wild animals, but also from thieves who might try to snatch them away. The good shepherd would protect them. And in fact, I want to show you a picture. Can we hit the advance? This isn't working for some reason. Thank you. This is actually a picture of a sheep pen that I took this picture when I was in Israel. And the sheep would be brought in through the gate here, brought in to stay for the night. And you'll notice there's thorny briars. You may not be able to see it from where you are, but thorny briars along the top of the fence that would keep out wild animals. And the shepherd would actually lie down here at night and sleep in the doorway. Basically, they were saying, "You're getting to these sheep over my dead body." It's literally what they're saying. Listen to what Jesus says about this. Again, in John 10, he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. "When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they don't know the voice of the stranger." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said again to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." In other words, he's saying, "I am the one who lays down in front of the door and protects my sheep. I am the door of the sheep. all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Again, he says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and come out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Three quick things I want us to get from that long passage I just read. First of all, he says, he calls his own sheep by name. The shepherd calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. I want you to know Jesus knows your name. He knows your name. You may think you're not on his radar. He absolutely knows your name. He knows every aspect of your DNA. He knows how you were made. He knows what you care about. He knows what breaks your heart. He knows what gives life to you. He knows what thrills you. He knows everything about you, and he knows your name. The second thing I want you to hear is that the shepherd wants you to know his voice. In those dark moments, in those hard moments, in those painful seasons, he wants you to learn to hear his voice and to hear you speak strength and encouragement and comfort to your heart. He wants you. He says, my sheep know my voice. That means if you're here and you love Jesus, you have the capacity, whether you've learned it yet or not, you have the capacity to know his voice. He desires for you to know his voice. The third thing, I already said that I got ahead of myself, that Jesus is the door and that he is the one who lays down his life. He puts himself in the way of the enemy who wants to destroy you. Jesus throws himself in the way and says, over my dead body. And then he died. And then he rose again, and he continues to stand between you and every plan the enemy has against you. And he is undefeatable. And lastly, thirdly this morning, the good shepherd seeks lost sheep. The good shepherd went to great lengths to take care of those under his or her care. It would make sure that they were kept intact, the flock was kept intact, and would go the extra mile to make sure that if one was lost, they would go looking for it until it was found. Jesus in Matthew 18, verse 10 to 14 says this, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. And he was holding a child as he said it. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Jesus is the shepherd, the good shepherd, that he said the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. What child is this? He's the one who left the riches and the comfort of heaven to look for the ones who went astray. Folks, that's all of us, isn't it? That's all of us. All we like sheep, Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to our own way. The mission of the shepherd is to seek out and to search out the ones who are lost. The good shepherd does this naturally, because they have a heart for their sheep. They care about their sheep. And Jesus cares about you. The child in the manger would grow to become one who is the shepherd who would seek the lost. Isaiah 40, verse 11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. And when Jesus completed the rescue mission on the cross outside of Jerusalem, 3 decades after being born in a manger in Bethlehem, He won our victory. He won back his sheep. And he even pulled in. Remember, Peter had denied Christ 3 times. And then after Jesus is raised from the dead, he has breakfast with Peter, doesn't he? He speaks with him and he says, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Look after my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs." Because even as Jesus was ascending into heaven, he wanted every one of his lambs to be shepherded and cared for. Let's stand. So our first answer to this question this morning, what child is this? He is the one who came to lay down his life for his sheep. He is the one who came to provide for you and to protect you. He is the one with sheep that he would call his own. He calls you his own. He calls you by name. He wants you to know his voice. He is the one who is the good shepherd. His name is Jesus. The baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in the manger, just as the angel told shepherds he would be, is now the one who is the shepherd of your soul and mine. And this morning, as we close this service, few moments, we're going to head downstairs and enjoy a fantastic meal together and celebrate Christmas together and just have a great time, have some fun together. But just before we finish this morning, I really believe there are some here this morning that you would say, "I'm one of the harassed and helpless. I'm one of the ones who needs a shepherd this morning." Thank you for reminding me that Jesus knows my name. Thank you for reminding me. I knew it, but thank you for reminding me that Jesus is my shepherd. Thank you for reminding me that he wants to take care of those areas in my life that are broken and hurting. He wants to bind up my wounds. He wants to pour in abundant life. If you're here this morning, I'm going to ask if any of our ministry team, prayer team are here to come on up and come get ready to pray. If you're here this morning and you would like someone to bring you to the feet of the shepherd, I'm going to invite you to come and receive prayer this morning. We want to pray with you. I'm going to pray right now and kind of close the service. And if you want to start making your way downstairs, you can do that. But if you would like prayer before you go downstairs, I invite you to come up. God, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you that you're our good shepherd. I thank you, Lord. You love us with an everlasting love. Thank you, Jesus, that you chose to identify yourself with those who smell like sheep. Because Jesus, you smell like us. Came into this world and you lived in this world just like we did. You know the challenges and the things that we carry, and this morning you want to be a shepherd to us. So come touch hearts and lives, I pray. In the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Why don't you come?